Hey, this is a great song. Money for nothing. It kicks for free.
You coming around now? You ready to pay Dallas Goedert, or are you still being frugal?
Like, I don't have a problem paying him. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But you're saying, am I overvaluing him? I don't think so.
You're undervaluing.
Well, I think
maybe I'm overvaluing. Who knows?
Well, yeah, whatever. However we said it was, that's how it is. But I think the problem is you have to make it more comfortable for you going into this season. Now, how do you do that? Offer the suggestion. Extending. Doesn't sound like they want to do that. For whatever reason.
It really does feel like a standoff. Because from his perspective, why am I giving you... Why am I taking less money, right? Like, I'm here. I'm under contract. You don't have anything else to position. You didn't draft anybody. I mean, he's got some leverage there. But from their perspective, Hugh, he has no more guaranteed money. I mean, he has zero guaranteed dollars left on his contract. I mean, players don't like to play for zero guaranteed money.
No, you want some bread. You want some guarantee. You want some newfound money.
Well, speaking of that, George Kittle, who's 2 years older than Dallas Goedert, and I acknowledge Kittle's a better player, right? Kittle's
much better.
Yeah, he's more productive. He's better. But they're not. The gap between Kittle and Goedert isn't like the second
it's
best.
It's not like the Grand Canyon.
No, and like right, whatever. Is Kittle still a top five tight end? Probably. Is Goedert a top 12 tight end?
15, top 15.
Yeah, I think he is still. Yeah. And he's not.
I give him that.
You know, Goedert never became the top five guy consistently. We hoped he would, but he's a good player.
And really good player.
If the goal is to win a Super Bowl next year, I want to keep him. 215-592-9494. The Eagles undervaluing Dallas Goedert. It sure feels like it to me. All right, let's hear Elliot Shore Parks this morning on the morning show explaining the Goedert situation. Really, first, let's hear him talk about Howie's message. What Elliot took away from listening to Howie over the weekend on the Goedert situation.
I've covered Howie the entire, like literally since I started covering the team, Howie's pretty much been the GM. And I have never heard an answer like that from Howie. I feel like every time Howie's asked about a player that we all think is going to go, it's always, you know, he's a big part of the team. We value having him. That answer to me felt like public negotiating with Goedert to say like, yeah, we're probably going to move on from you. So I kind of think things might have shifted a little bit in what's going on. I think both sides entered the offseason under the assumption, because of what the Eagles wanted, that they were going to be splitting. Now that we've made it this far into the offseason, and clearly there's not the interest in Goedert around the league that either the Eagles or Goedert anticipated. If there was, financially, he would have been moved. I don't think this is about draft compensation. I think this is about a team willing to pay Goedert probably what he's looking for, or frankly, maybe even what he's making now. Like, I don't know if Goddard's able to find the money he's making right now with the Eagles. So, you know, I think at this point, just based off that, you do wonder if they would bring Goedert back on a very reduced salary, or if they've decided like they're just going to move on. But that answer to me almost felt like a message to the Goedert camp, like, hey, we will still cut you or trade you if we have to.
I agree with Elliot on that. That's what I got out of listening to Howie over the weekend, that unless Goedert really reduces his salary, I don't think he's going to be here, Hugh. That the more it goes on, the longer it goes on, unless Goedert bends, I don't think he's going to be an Eagle.
Yeah. I mean, it does feel like that, but you got to do something, because here's the reality of it. Even though Goedert, it feels like he has all the cards, the Eagles could still make a move. They could probably wait till another tight end gets cut or something like that and still get some decent production out of that. Now, listen, I'm not trying to take anything away from what Dallas Goedert brought to the table and what he did for this team last year. I see it, but we're talking about the economic side of this thing now. And the reason why I feel the way that I feel is because I've seen how these things work.
Yeah.
When a team is trying to save some money and cut corners, they're looking at him as a liability at this point, even though he is somewhat of an asset. But the cap number is too high for them, and that's why I think that one or two things are going to happen. They're going to try to reduce that cap number, or they're going to move on from
it. I agree. I think that's where this is headed.
It's on him. Like, he's in a situation now, Joe, where you need to figure out how – do you want to take a chance and go somewhere else and maybe have a mediocre run at a title, or stay here, take a little bit of a pay cut, but you're still a part of a good organization and a good squad?
So what you just said there is, I think, is key to this. What is the pay cut they're asking to take?
Because don't know.
You know, I have to think at some point – Hugh, I don't know what this world is like. I just talk about it. But like, I understand the difference between $14 million and $5 million is $9 million, right? Mm-hmm. But Goddard's made a lot of money. All these players make a lot of money. For people listening to us, they're probably like, what's the difference, right? It's millions anyway. But I wonder how much is a respect thing. Like, I wonder how much
a little bit of that.
Yeah, like, I think he probably gets the economics of football. But if they're asking him to take more than half less of his salary, I would feel a certain way if I was him. Like, think about, regardless of what you do for a living, if your boss came to you tomorrow and said, you got to take less than half your salary, even if you understood the economics of your business, you might say, man, I've been here for 10 years, and you want me to take half my salary?
See, this
that
is
stinks.
But see, here's the way that I always understood when they ask you to take a pay cut, especially when you're still on the squad and they don't want you to leave. Okay, your number this year is $14 million, right? Say if they wanted to bring your number down to $5 million. So that what's that, Joe? It's $9 million difference. Like you just said, you get a signing bonus of $9 million. You get that money. That's the way I've always understood it. When they ask people to take pay cuts and things of that nature or to reduce their salary cap hit, they usually write them a check for $9 million. So I don't understand, like, with this situation, that to me seems like that's an easy ride. Or if you want to, you could extend years. You could sign him for whatever you sign him to, but right, extend those years out and bring that number down. That's the way I understand it. I don't know if they want to do that.
Well, let's hear this from Elliot, because Elliot tried to explain the money situation a little bit more in depth at the Mortar Show today. It seems like this is maybe more about cash than it is the salary cap. I did mention that the Eagles already have to allocate $16 million on the cap this year to Jason Kelce. It's just the reality of his contract, the way they kind of pushed money back. So maybe this is more about, like, literal cash. Here's Elliot this morning with the Morning Show explaining his interpretation of the Goddard thing with the money.
From the Eagles' perspective, if they were to move on from him and ignore the cap implications, just the cash, if they were to move on from him, they save that cash. So from Goddard's camp, they're probably going around the league seeing who will pay him 14. I mean, I'm sure they started hoping for more on a multi-year deal. Mm-hmm. And now from the Eagles' perspective, he's not finding that. They kind of hold all the cards at this point, because they could say, yeah, we'll have you back at $5 million, you know, and then it's up to Goddard's camp to go and find a better offer than what the Eagles are willing to pay.
So, I mean, the cash aspect of this is interesting, too, because we know the Eagles have cut salary this offseason. I want him back. I think they're undervaluing him. 215-592-9494. This hour on 94 WIP's fueled by Sunoco 94 Octane. If you demand peak performance for your vehicle, then nothing less than Sunoco 94 Octane will do. Treat your car to 94 only at Sunoco. Let's go to the phone lines here. Jeff in Wilmington is up. Hey, Jeff.
Jeff.
What's up, guys?
Hey, Jeff. What's going on?
I got company man Professor Marvel over here trying to get me behind the curtain and trying to tell me he's the Wizard of Oz. Look, I don't understand.
I took a shot. I caught a straight.
Oh, yeah, you did.
I caught a straight.
You're a big one.
I don't understand why the Eagles aren't doing this. You know, I mean, they have him here. It's not like they're negotiating with a player that wants to come here or that they want. And they already know that he's not going to be giving them 17 games a year. You know what I mean? Like, that's kind of a known fact. He's not the guy that's going to give you – he's going to be out from games. So why are you asking him to take such a big pay cut? Well, we don't really know what they're asking him, but it appears that they are. So it's kind of confusing to me. Like, they've pretty much taken care of everybody on this team, and they're pushing back on him, and the guy has been to a few Super Bowls and done well in the playoffs. So I don't understand what the issue is.
I don't, but Jeff, I don't either. And you think about the other guys over the years, and I'm not saying he's as good of a player, but, you know, the homegrown guys, right? The guys, they kept Kelce forever. They kept Fletcher forever, even when he wasn't the same player he was when he was young.
Yep.
I mean, Jason Peters got to hang out here until he basically couldn't play anymore. I mean, it's bizarre to me that taking a hardline stance with Goddard, and we don't even have the next tight end. Like, if we had drafted a guy last year or this year, I totally would get it. Like, all right, we moved off of Ertz, we moved off of Selleck. This is kind of how the Eagles do it. They don't have the next tight end here.
That was my other point. Like, they don't have someone in hand. Like, are we really counting on Grant Calcaterra to pick up the slack from
Goddard? I'm not.
Goddard?
Maybe Hugh is. So. I'm not.
No, I don't think they're going to go in the skeezy with Grant Calcaterra.
Yeah, we can't even say his name.
He had a nice jacket on yesterday. You see the jacket?
I didn't see Grant's jacket.
He had the jacket. He had the – forgot the liner. That was Dan Maroney did that. Shout out to Dan
I don't give a shit.
I'm sorry, Jeff.
He's trying to dress his best. I get it.
I love it. Again, like I said, I don't understand playing hardball with him and somewhat doing it in public. I mean, look, they're being asked these questions.
Right.
Maybe Howie didn't answer them completely the way we thought he should. But it doesn't sound like they're all that keen on bringing him back at any number, it seems like. I mean, he's under contract, but...
Yeah, I think you said it well. They talk about him, and Jeff, we appreciate the call. They talk about Goddard like he's not here, like, as if he's not on the roster and they're negotiating a free agent contract. He's on the team. This has been the most bizarre thing the entire offseason. 215-592-9494. That is how you hop. We're this hour, 94 WIP, fueled by Sunoco 94 Octane. If you demand peak performance from your vehicle, then nothing less than Sunoco 94 Octane will do. Cheer card 94 only. At Sunoco. All right, we got a lot to do today. We will get to some Phillies. They play tonight against the Nats.
Tonight.
Back at home for the first time. So we'll get to some Philly stuff. We got to get to a major debate that is really going on everywhere. We'll get to that over the course of the show. By the way, we're on YouTube. You can watch it live. And I did find out, I don't know if it's fixed, but there's a little...
We have a glitch.
A little glitch in the Matrix. So, yeah, a little glitch in the Matrix. So when you... I think everyone could see you and I, Hugh, but when we go to Kyle... I think it's fixed. Okay. Earlier we went to Kyle and he was invisible.
He
was invisible Kyle, which some people might want.
A lot of complaints, actually. They wanted to see my face.
They missed you. Okay. Mm-hmm. Speaking of your face, we had headshots this morning.
I know.
Yeah, so there's going to be just wait for those.
I was a little nervous about
that. Were you? That's a nice polo you wore.
Well, it was because...
It's not quite the Reverend.
No, because it was when they said... I heard photos, yeah. Right? And I thought headshots. When I came in, I saw the full setup. Yeah. I was like, oh, no.
Because you wore shorts.
I wore shorts.
Yeah, you're good, though.
Yeah.
It was just headshots. I don't know
what they call them, hoochie daddy shorts, too.
Is that what they
That's
call
That's what
those?
They call them.
Okay.
They call them that. Okay. Yeah. Like, I ain't want nobody, you know.
But you wore them to work.
I did wear them to work, yeah, okay. Though, didn't I? So I guess I didn't really too much care.
You don't have much of a leg to stand on.
Yeah. Yeah.
How'd your photos go?
I think I went pretty...
We took some silly photos.
No, but the ones... Uh-oh. They told us don't, because they know how people get.
Yeah.
So they ain't want them to be photoshopping. Well, so yeah, we had to, you know.
I think that's a losing battle we're fighting. People are going to photoshop things onto us no matter what.
They were
we
a
do.
Lot more silly than last time.
They were, yeah. Yeah, last time it was a little bit more straightforward. This one was, you know, make this face, do that. Act this way. So we'll see what those look like when they arrive. All right, let's go next. We sometimes on this show, we have Pop-Up Douglas. Today, we just have a call from Pop-Up in Simpsonville, South Carolina. Pop-Up?
Simpsonville.
Good morning.
Good morning,
hey,
Pop-Up.
I just wanted to say, thank you. I listen every morning. I listen from 10 o'clock on.
Pop-Up's really got to stick together.
Well, thank you, Pop-Up. Hey, Pop-Up.
We appreciate you.
Real question, how far are you from Bucky's?
I'm about... 3 hours from Bucky's. As a matter of fact, I'm going to the beach this weekend.
So you will hit the Bucky's.
I'll be getting a brisket sandwich Friday afternoon.
That's that bussy
meat. They got brisket sandwiches.
Yeah, they got all kinds of stuff.
And don't forget the bathroom, Scott.
You could hold a wedding in the bathroom.
Yeah, I keep trying to tell them. They don't understand how phenomenal Bucky's is.
I can't imagine many women would go for that, though. Where are we doing this reception? The bathroom of Bucky's.
You could join the Maha Club at Bucky's.
There you go. You could do that. Pop, what are you thinking today about Goddard?
I'm just saying.
I think that Goddard is a keeper. He has to stay on the team. They've attempted to nickel and dime him. Howie's got to step up and pay the man what he's due. He is, if you look at the highlight reel, and I don't care about everybody gets injured. Thing is that as a 66-year-old disabled veteran, you know, when I was in the Marine Corps, I was a young man playing John Wayne. Years later, my body pays the price. You know firsthand what he deals with his, you know, the nagging injuries from playing in the NFL. We have to take that into consideration as fans. These men give us everything they have, and then when they walk away from the game, they deal with the repercussions of the injuries that they suffer while playing, and they play through. Dallas Goedert is an eagle, and all I think about is his stiff arm and him knocking people down and pulling people into the end zone. He's a keeper.
Pop-Up, I agree with you. And I that's what I think of, too. When I think of his career, and Pop-Up, we appreciate it. You enjoy that trip to Bucky's. Brisket sandwich on Friday for Pop-Up.
I do find it interesting, like, if you just ask somebody, how far are you from a Bucky's? They'll know their exact distance.
No, yeah. Because it's...
From a Bucky's at all times? It's, like, it's 3 hours. That's a long way to know.
No, but when he in the South, that's the thing.
Like, it's like when an I internal lived, GPS.
Yeah, because when I lived in Georgia, I was only, like, 40 minutes from a Bucky's.
Wow.
And I never knew
And you left to come here?
I never knew the glory of Bucky's until I got ready to leave. I never knew.
Well, you were there. Like, how long were Bucky's there with you and you didn't realize?
You know what's funny? Doing? It was a couple things happened that was magical before I left Atlanta. Whataburger came to town the day that I left Georgia.
They have those everywhere, though.
No,
yeah.
They don't. Whataburger, they don't, Joe. They only have them in Texas.
Hold on, let me check this out.
In Atlanta, got the Whataburger, and it was the line around. They had a line backed up for miles. They got that when I left. And the Buc-ee's, I miss both of them. I mean, I'm not bitter or anything. I'm gonna go down. I just, you know, when somebody's close to the South, I just gotta figure out. I mean, you know,
I'm looking
everybody
up this
know
burger
how far
place.
They know from the Buc-ee's.
I'm gonna find you this. I'm telling you, this burger place.
Whataburger. You ain't gonna find a Whataburger.
I think I might. I think I might find
up
one.
North.
I think I might find one.
Okay.
All right. He made the point on Goddard that he remembers him more for his big moments, right? The playoff stiff arm. You're not wrong when you say how many games he's missed. I mean, those are facts, right?
Yeah.
But I think some of those have just been weird injuries.
But he's missed
one time. Was it 2 years ago? He got pulled down by the Cowboy guy. I think it was in like the November game.
It was a hamstring, right?
No. He got pulled down and he
it's
broke
like
his collar.
Kind of.
And he broke his collarbone. Yeah. Like, to me, is that... Is that
that's
mean,
not it's,
that's not a recurring injury. He just he plays physical and he gets banged up.
Injuries do find him.
Yeah, they do.
And it's one of those things when you look at, okay, say as good as Dallas Goedert is, and when he's in there, we see that production. But the dependability factor is what's playing into this decision, in my opinion.
I don't
know this for sure, but I think the dependability factor is because when you have a tight end of his caliber, you tend to game plan for his presence. And when he's not out there, you have to adjust and change things for his absence. So that's why I say your biggest asset is your availability. And so I think the Eagles probably went into this thinking two things. Hopefully they could probably get something for him in the draft, mm-hmm. which it didn't look like that happened. But you also had to replenish your defensive side of the ball. So they had to go. That was the priority. Now, this side thing that you had going on with Dallas, you need to rectify that, but you got to take care of the defense. Because we saw how instrumental Vic Fangio was, and or we saw how prevalent he was, and that me would – he was like on Howie's hip. And I'm pretty sure he was like, yo, man, I need this. I need that. We lost a lot of pieces. I need some young cat, you know. So that was the priority. So now you look at it like this. There's going to be a lot of undrafted free agents,
yep.
I should say. That's my fault. Undrafted free agents. That they're going to be moved from team to team. They're probably going to bring some tight ends in this weekend.
I know, but are any of them going to be Goddard?
You never know, Joe.
But what would you guess? An undrafted tight end rookie going to be Goddard?
Well, it's a long shot.
Yeah.
But you still have to vet these guys that you brought in that are long shots. And then not only that, the longer this play – see – we're dealing with a time frame where something has to happen with Dallas.
Yeah.
Because if I'm not mistaken, if he reaches what is it? Is it sometimes in the next couple weeks or whatever? His money's guaranteed or something like that.
So I don't know if his money's guaranteed the entire season.
I'm talking out of my depth with, as far as these contract situations is concerned. But if they can't find a suitable replacement, he's probably going to be here. Or they're going to probably have to if they want to try to. Lower his cap number, they're probably going to have to try to extend it.
I agree with that totally. Both sides are in a spot where something has to change. The Eagles don't want to pay him what he's getting right now. And Goddard, I understand why he doesn't want to have zero guaranteed dollars because, Hugh, what if they find a trade partner for a different tight end in August? They could just cut Goddard outright. He gets $0. Like, I get why he wants to fix this. I just think every conversation about him is more about the money he's making. Again, they're allocating this season, 2025, if you look at the Eagles cap sheet, $16 million to Jason Kelce to do Monday Night Football and hang out at WIP and do all the cool things he does. That's the way the Eagles do their cap. They push money back to the future, and that's fine. The Eagles are very smart about this. I'm just saying, when I look at their cap sheet and I see Jason Kelce for $16 million, but we can't carry Goddard – Doesn't add up to me. Will in the Northeast. What's up, Will? Will?
Moment too big.
Will going once. Will going twice.
It was too big.
And we go to Terrence in Springfield. What's up, Terrence?
New Joe Kyle, what's up, man?
Hey, what's Terrence, on, what's man? Up, buddy?
Hey, you damn right they're undervaluing Dallas Goedert. Here's the thing. He was definitely productive on the field. I feel like he's been a great player for us. He's hard-nosed. He's a great run blocker. But my thing is, with Hugh here, this is playing a big part of it. His injury status, his availability. I think that's why Howie is kind of trying to lower this contract for Dallas. And my thing with Howie was talking about Goddard like he passed away or something. We think of Goddard. He's a great player, and I heard a lot of buts. I heard a lot of buts in that when Howie was talking. So you're talking about the guy like he's going somewhere, like he left already. Howie, like, you know, my thing is the same thing you said, Joe. If we would have grabbed a tight end during the draft or something, because my thing is, if Howie goes in the season with uncertainty at the tight end position, then he didn't have a good offseason. That's not a good thing to have if you don't have a tight end, because we know that's one of Jalen's security blankets is Dallas Goedert, is the tight end position. And I know I heard you saying earlier, Calcaterra, he played a great, great role last year, but he's not a starter. He came in and he pretty much, the situation was right for him, so he made the best of a situation for Clint Calcaterra. But my thing is, man, I feel like we got to bring Dallas Goedert back. Dallas Goedert is a key vocal point to our offense. There were games where Saquon was shut down earlier in the season where Goddard stepped up in there.
Well, I mean, Terrence, let's just you're right. Let's hit the one. If he doesn't have the 61-yard touchdown against the Saints, Terrence, we preached the phone
might
call.
Might be a different season. We get it.
Yeah, they might be 1-3 at the bye, and then, you know, maybe that ability to come out of the bye and play the way they did is just different. 215-592-9494 for all your Goddard calls on the other side here. Are the Eagles undervaluing Dallas Goedert? It sure feels like it to me. I think he's being totally undervalued. Stop playing hardball. Bring the guy back. Also, Phillies, they're back tonight, starting a series against the Nats. I want to get at something that's been going on with the lineup and a change we need to see now. 215-592-9494. It is the Midday Show. Sports Radio 94 WIP. A great lawn. It's like a great sports team. It takes expertise and a little extra care to really stand out. That's where True Green comes in. They're the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. So they know a thing or two about keeping grass looking like a favorite. Here's the best part. It's more affordable than you think, and they'll even match any competitor's price. Plus, True Green backs it all up with a satisfaction guarantee. Not happy? They'll come back between visits to make it right. Don't wait. Head to TrueGreen.com today. Let the pros do the work while you sit back and enjoy the results.